Right now on VFN TV, we're going to be talking about, is free speech still free? Do we still have the First Amendment, the freedom to say what we want to say in America? Well, it's happening on college campuses and it's happening all around the world. It's particularly in America. Right now, the United States, you can't just say anything. And this has to stop. Join us right now as we continue to explore this on VFN TV.
Welcome to VFN TV and the daily VFN radio program, where we're keeping the conversation light. That's L-I-G-H-T, light.
This is what I saw this morning. The United Apostates of America. Boy, when I saw that, my heart dropped. But it really set it for me that America has become, by and large, apostate now.
Deep-seated cultural codes, religious beliefs have to be changed.
We've got our back up against the wall in a way that we haven't before. You're going to have to bow or you're going to have to burn. We're choosing to stand up, and if we burn, we burn, but we're not going to bow.
It was quite a shock for us because we used to watch the news on TV that ISIS took over Mosul, but we've never thought someday in a few hours we'll be out of our homes.
I mean, we're talking about not a 25-year, not a 100-year storm, but probably a storm that may never have been seen and may never be seen again.
We haven't seen this level of rain in the Lowcountry in 1,000 years. That's how big this is.
We in the administration and the government should give voice to the plight of Muslims living in this country.
I've come here to Cairo to seek a new beginning between the United States and Muslims around the world, one based on mutual interest and mutual respect, and one based upon the truth that America and Islam are not exclusive and need not be in competition. Instead, they overlap and share common principles.
We already know the news. We're trying to change that news.
You have to be blind not to know that America is in real trouble.
Christianity started as a relationship in Israel when God came to man. It went to Greece to become a philosophy, to Rome to become a religion, to Europe to become a tradition and part of the culture, and then to America to become an enterprise.
What I got so clear in a dream last night that I believe is pretty imminent for our country. They were invading the Southwest United States. There were droves. It was coming like a plague. They were ranked in these gangs, and these gangs were like military gangs. They had military equipment, but their ranking was based, I think, gained by their cruelty and by their insatiable desire to be even more cruel in the way they killed people. This was far more diabolical than ISIS. I mean, what I saw, just cutting off people's heads would have been merciful, is pretty imminent for our country, the United States.
Every day of freedom is like an act of faith. And if we should die trying to live, then at least we die like human beings.
You know, we're at that moment in time, and what are we going to do with it? Understand this, if God's on your side, you're on the majority side, no matter if the whole world is against you.
You were born under an appeal to me, and when there was no way, I made a way. And no matter how bad it looks today, how big the giants look, if you'll call on everlasting God and you'll tap into that covenant, you'll take out these giants.
He asked me to come and pray for him and also pray for the city. Would you extend your hands this way? Father God, we just thank you for our new chief, David Alexander. We thank you for the man of God he is. Lord, you said that the seat of the righteous will rise and the seat of evil will come down. And we just declare those words over the Gulf Coast, God, and we pray, Lord, that we would dedicate the city to you.
We've come this night to Capitol Hill to declare that our God is not Baal, our God is not Moloch, our God is not government, our God is not money, our God is not power, not pleasure, our God is not political correctness or any other man-made thing. We've come to this hill to declare that there is only one God, and he is the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He's the God of Israel and of all nations. He alone is the rock upon which this nation has come into existence.
If you want biblical times, you've got it. You want the book of Acts? It's coming. You want the days of Elijah? It's here. It's time to become the Elijahs of the day.
To think about these seven mountains of culture. You could call them the religion mountain, which would be the church mountain, the family mountain, the education mountain, the government mountain, the media mountain, arts and entertainment and business. When we go into these mountains and make disciples, we can change the world.
May I say just a word to those of you who are struggling against this evil? Let me say to you to always struggle against it with Christian methods.
How many times have you screamed and yelled at your TV because of secular media was saying things you know wasn't true, some sort of political persuasion? They were given 5-second blurb to a miracle of God, and you got upset with it. But you go back to it again and again and again. What can you do? This is an answer.
Lord, raise up mighty men and women. Raise up young people. Raise up voices, not echoes. Voices that can cut through and make politicians and judges shake in their boots. Raise up prophetesses. Put a sure word in their mouth. Let it hit the news channels. Let them.
Lancaster.
Welcome to VFN TV. I'm John Ramos, and I'm filling in today for Greg Lancaster. And joining me in a few minutes is Steve Kolesheski. I want to thank you so much for connecting and viewing with us day in and day out. And wherever you watch VFN TV, don't forget to share with your friends. But we have an exciting program for you today, because we're going to be talking about the First Amendment. And the question is, in America, is speech still free? Believe it or not, on college campuses, there is a rising of this politically correct speech where you can't say anything. And it used to be that it was the professors and the faculty that would try to, you know, steer the communication. But this now, what's happening in America, it's coming from the young people and it's spreading. And now you can't say anything about anything or anyone because you're marginalized, you're pushed in the corner, and you're made to look as if you're the one with the problem. And it's not our way. We should have the First Amendment is still alive and well, where you can begin to start speaking and sharing. All of this is happening while they're still prayer shaming people for wanting to pray to God. I want you to listen to this update from CBN as they give us and tell us what's happening on these college campuses. Watch this.
Today's college students want professors and administrators to make them feel safe and protest if they don't. This phone video shows a Yale student publicly cussing and denouncing her dormitory director. This crime, encouraging students to make their own decisions about what Halloween outfits to wear. The student wanted the university to make the rules about offensive costumes.
You should step down. It is not about creating an intellectual space. It is not. Do you understand that? It's about creating a home here.
At Yale, the University of Missouri, and elsewhere, students are increasingly concerned about what they consider to be offensive speech. They're calling for more rules to limit what students can say.
There are certain things that are right and wrong, certain things that shouldn't be said about other people, depending on what their, you know, minority, racial background, income status is.
In the last 20 years, such sentiment has led more than 400 universities to adopt speech codes. The problem, they consistently violate the First Amendment, shutting down so-called offensive speech or writing in the name of respect. Other rules create free speech zones and what are called safe spaces.
Of course, we want to protect somebody from being actually harassed or intimidated, but merely expressing a view that makes other people uncomfortable is what a university is for.
Censorship is like a cancer that eventually spreads out of control, and eventually everyone has something to worry about.
Here at the University of North Carolina, Wilmington, what is called the Respect Compact actually restricts student speech.
This speech code, like many others, calls for a free exchange of thoughts and opinions within a climate of civility and respect. But Professor Mike Adams notes that it gives the university incredible power and the ability to punish anyone it considers disrespectful.
Offensive, disrespectful speech is the only thing that's ever really been protected by the First Amendment, because that's the kind of thing that people might want to go after.
I definitely think it makes students hesitate, and I sometimes hesitate to like kind of voice my opposing opinion because I don't want to really upset the rest of the class or even the professor.
It become ingrained in the culture. And then students, you know, sort of wake up one day and say, well, you know what? I do have a right to be safe. I do have a right to be free from speech that might make me feel uncomfortable or disrespected. And then boom, at that point, what do you have? You've got Yale and you've got Mizzou.
FIRE is an organization that tracks speech on campus. Right now, it's following more than 200 universities that have substantially restrictive policies. The typical approach, codes that define harassment broadly, despite a narrow definition from the Supreme Court.
Harassment is severe, pervasive, and so objectively offensive that it effectively denies a student the right to an education. But you see universities adopting harassment codes that merely say that something is harassment if it offends someone. At Drexel University, they had a speech code that said that it is a violation of campus policy to have inappropriately directed laughter.
What's known as the Chicago Statement is beginning to change the trend. It was created here at the University of Chicago, and it holds a high view of the freedom of speech, saying that civility and respect should not curtail the open discussion of ideas.
Professor Jeffrey Stone helped to write the statement earlier this year, and six universities have already followed suit. He enjoys support from faculty and administrators, although some students oppose what he's doing.
I think they have been raised to be protected and to be shielded from risk, and that they're therefore much more entitled in terms of feeling that they shouldn't be put into positions that make them uncomfortable.
The diversity movement has also contributed, he says, by encouraging youth to express their concerns. It's a profound change for students to be the ones to argue for limited speech. Historically, it's been administrators or off-campus forces.
The terrifying thing to me is that the current wave of censorship is coming from the students, not from the faculty.
We've always been on the side of the students, and the students have always been supportive in this fight for free speech. But now you have these disinvitations, you have this movement for safe spaces on campus.
This student movement has huge ramifications for the future of universities as we have known them, as well as for those who dare to disagree.
The risk of standing up and saying, no, we have to believe in free speech, the proper response here is not censorship, is that you get labeled a sexist or a racist. And it very quickly winds up on social media. And you can't get rid of that forever.
Christian College President Everett Piper recently stood up, blogging that Oklahoma Wesleyan is not a daycare.
I think I started a bit of a grass fire by simply telling a college community that I want you to learn. I don't want you to feel safe, per se.
This battle between learning and safety may be just beginning. At its core, not just campus policies, but the hearts and minds of a new generation. Heather Sells, CBN News.
This is so important. This is the beginning. This is the chipping away of our Constitution, First Amendment. First Amendment of the Constitution prohibits the making of any law respecting the establishment of religion, impeding the free exercise of religion, abridging the freedom of speech. Listen, this is our constitutional right. When we get back from this break, we're going to continue to talk about this and so much more. Join us when we get right back.
This is VFN TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
Did you know it's our partners who stand with us every single month that helps VFN TV and VFN Radio come to pass? I want to encourage you, go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's very simple to do. And what we do is a thank you. You have access to the green room, which is different things that people don't have access to, different parts of the interviews, teachings and specials, so much more, just to say thank you. Go to VFNTV.com and partner today. It's so, so simple.
to VFN TV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Things are changing, Steve. Things are changing. Who would have thought that free speech, communication, and you, this is a narrative I think that the left uses a lot that just wants to, you can't say anything. You can't say anything because it's going to offend and hurt someone. And they turn it back on you so that you're the problem. And all you're doing, you're not, I think a lot of people are not trying to purposely offend people.
Yeah.
They're just sharing their opinion, you know, their desires. And I think a lot of people are open to just dialogue. Let's just, let us reason together. Let us communicate.
Well, I think about that too. And it's just like, you know, when you're in the educational industry, you're at a school, you're at a university, you're preparing people for the professional world. Right. So if you're going into the professional world, you're coming into an environment with people that have different backgrounds, experiences, perspectives. So you're learning to say, help me to understand what it is that your perspective,
exchanging of ideas, worldviews, perceptions.
I can't help but think about what you're hearing. One of the professors said, he said that, you know, that I think that they've been raised to be protected, to be shielded from risk, and that they are therefore much more entitled in terms of feeling that they shouldn't be put into positions to make them feel uncomfortable. It's like, that's life. You're going to experience difficulties. You're going to experience hardships and saying, okay, I haven't experienced this one before. What do I do? This is a difficult, you know, this person's different than I am. And it's like, that's the world. Like, not everybody's like you. We're not always going to be uncomfortable, or we're not always going to be comfortable.
Well, this is the entitlement generation. Just, you know, cookie cutter. Can you cut the edges of my peanut butter and jelly off? Can you cut the edges off the bread? They want everything done for them. And it's like, listen, it's not like that in the real world. Yeah. It's not like that. We have to be able to come to a place where we can, like I said, share ideas, share concepts, and be open to have a dialogue. And not everyone's going to agree with your opinion, but that's okay.
Yeah.
Because we live in America.
Yeah.
And a person has a right to think, to say, to communicate whatever they want to say. You know, and think about it. Even the attorney general, I mean, this goes from college campus, but even the attorney general was quoted as saying that she wants to prosecute anyone that communicates any kind of speech that would inspire violence towards Muslims in our country. And the thing is, you know, no one wants to harm anybody, but who is to say that someone's speech inspired a violent act?
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden you're going to begin to start prosecuting them?
Yeah, and that's where it really starts to boil down who is decisively identifying what is or what is not hate speech?
Yeah.
Or what is that speech that is going to offend? And that's when you start really getting into that dicey conversation of just like, well, it's just truth. Now, if truth offends you, then do we have to get into something that hey, that's something that you got to work out.
That's right.
I was just saying the truth.
Yeah.
And then that's
something what Jesus did often. I mean, people would be offended walking away from Jesus, but he just told them the truth.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, you could be listening to this and you can think this is a license to be rude. There's a difference between sharing the truth in love and then sharing the truth in a rude and you know, condescending way.
Right.
We as believers want to share the truth in love. The whole point of sharing truth is to help people to come into the light, not to push them away and cause them to be offended and put up walls and barriers. We want to be able to, you know, you get more with sugar, you know what I mean? And so I want you to see Prager University, as they put something together for us, talking about, does free speech offend you? You got to watch this.
Freedom of speech, the ability to express yourself, it's a cherished idea, as well it should be. Most of us who live in liberal Western democracies think of it as a basic human right. People have fought and died for it. But now we may be in danger of losing it. The threat is not coming from without, from external enemies, but from within. A generation is being raised not to believe in freedom of speech, but rather that they should have freedom from speech they dislike. This is a threat to both pluralism and democracy itself. We see this in Europe, where sensitivity-based censorship attempts to ban anything deemed hateful or even just hurtful, and to ban criticism of religion, especially Islam. But the United States, despite its strong constitutional protections in the Bill of Rights, is far from immune from the rising trend of suppression of speech, or what is sometimes called political correctness. This is especially true at America's colleges and universities, the place where our future leaders are educated and where you'd expect speech to be the most free. Highly restrictive speech codes are now the norm on campus, not the exception. According to a study by my organization, the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education, FIRE, 54% of public universities and 59% of private universities impose politically correct speech codes on their students. And thanks to recent Department of Education guidelines, 100% of colleges may adopt speech codes in the coming years. How bad is it? At a public campus in California, on Constitution Day in 2013, a student who also happens to be a decorated military veteran was told he could not hand out copies of the Constitution to his fellow students. The objection from the university was not ideological. It was out-of-control bureaucracy imposing limits on speech. That same day, another college student in that same state was told he could not protest NSA surveillance outside of a tiny free speech zone, an area that comprised only 1.37% of the campus. Months later, college students in Hawaii were told both they could not hand out the Constitution to their fellow students, and that they could not protest NSA policies outside the school's free speech zone. FIRE took these colleges to court, but the fact that we had to shows you how bad it has become. Recently, students and sympathetic faculty have joined forces to exclude campus speakers whose opinions they dislike. At FIRE, we call this disinvitation season, although the season lasts all year round. Since 2009, there has been a major uptick in the push by students and faculty to get speakers they dislike disinvited. These speakers have included former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice, the Somali-born feminist and critic of Islam Ayaan Hirsi Ali, and the director of the International Monetary Fund Christine Lagarde. And that's only the obvious part of the disinvitation problem. Few conservative speakers are invited to speak at colleges lest they have to be disinvited later. The newest threat to speech comes from so-called trigger warnings, alerts that warn students that they are about to read or hear something that triggers a negative emotional response. A 2014 New York Times article cited the example of a Rutgers student requesting trigger warnings for the classic American novel The Great Gatsby because it, quote, possesses a variety of scenes that reference abusive, misogynistic violence, unquote. Recently, Oberlin College attempted to institute a policy that heavily encouraged the faculty to avoid difficult topics and to employ trigger warnings as a means of making classrooms safer. Safety has been watered down to essentially mean the right to always feel comfortable. New demands for trigger warnings are popping up on campuses across the country. Add in popular academic theories that encourage students to scrutinize speech for microaggressions, any statement that might be construed as racially insensitive, classist, sexist, or otherwise un-PC, and it's clear that campuses are teaching students to police what they say. This is precisely the opposite of what is needed. Our society needs candor, and it needs freedom of speech, not freedom from speech. Intellectual comfort is not a right, nor should it ever be. Not if we want freedom of speech. Let's just call it freedom to survive. I'm Greg Lukianoff, president of the Foundation for Individual Rights in Education for Prager University.
This is so important, Steve, because at almost every single front, you can see it literally chipping away of our Constitution. When you can't open your mouth and communicate what's on your heart, and then they want to prosecute you, the question is, well, it's almost like a double-edged sword. At the same time, can't do that. You can't do that. I need a trigger here. But then they're shaming Christians for praying. They're shaming Christians, saying you don't need to pray, only pray for forgiveness, but don't pray. Listen, it's only a matter of time before they begin to start saying that the gospel is hate speech and that we're going to need to prosecute anyone who preaches the gospel of Jesus Christ. This is insanity. This is crazy. And we get right back from this break. We're going to show you what some young teenagers did at a Catholic high school that went viral. You don't want to miss it. But before we go to break, I do want to talk to you about our special offer, Special Offer 2000. Listen, just for being a VFN partner and making a contribution, how much, how little, let the Lord lead you. For any amount, we want to get this special offer to you. It's you, our partners, that work together with our sponsors to help us do what we're doing right now, keeping the conversation light and bringing a biblical perspective to what we're seeing and hearing every single day. Our special offer is Special Offer 2000. This is an act of war. The words from Francis Hollande, the president of France. Is this the mark of the beast? And are we headed to World War III? You don't want to miss it. Would you consider partnering today? I want to share with you about our Special Offer 2000. You want to get this special offer. Just for partnering with VFN TV for any amount. It's yours. We want to get it to you. And it's called This is an Act of War. Has World War III begun? And is this the coming mark of the beast? These were the statements. This is an act of war by the Francis president, François Hollande, right after the Paris attacks. If you remember, he closed the borders immediately. And what happened was a complete tragedy. But he says this is an act of war and that France was going to be engaged. But in this message, you're going to find out some very interesting and some startling information, one of which is that, is this a prelude to the mark of the beast? How are we going to get there? Are we on the verge of World War III? You're also going to find out about biometrics identity. They have a system already designed and they want to implement for 7 billion people where they're digitally tagging you with an ID. And guess what? It's already happened with 200 people living in India. You don't want to miss it. This is a time for the church to wake up as to what is happening right now. You want to get this message. You want to partner. And it's through your partnership and our sponsors that we're able to continue to do what we're doing, keeping the conversation light. You become a partner at VFN TV. Go to VFNTV.com and select partner now. Or you can do it by mail. And you want to mail VFN TV at 6500 North Pensacola Boulevard, Pensacola, Florida, 32505. And you can always feel free to call at 844-408-3688. Again, that number is 844-408-3688. Partner today.
Evan Horton, pastor at Brownsville Assembly. Wish you all a blessed Thanksgiving and a very Merry Christmas.
Conversation light. Follow us online at vfntv.com. We'll be right back.
You can learn some profound lessons from your child. This is Focus on the Family Minute. I'm John Fuller, and here's Ken Sandy, who says that he learned a great insight from his six-year-old.
I remember one time my son broke a figurine. It was one I gave to Corlette at our engagement. And I was angry, and I spoke to him sharply, and he said he was sorry, but I wasn't ready to forgive him. I went into my study, and a couple minutes later, he walks in, reaches out his hands, open them up, and all these pennies and nickels and quarters fall on the table. He said, Daddy, I emptied my piggy bank, and I hope this is enough to buy a new thing for Mommy. If it's not, I'll get a job.
Now, that's a wonderful story of a boy who was truly repentant. You know, sometimes God gets our attention in some unusual ways. And to learn more about forgiveness, stop by focusonthefamily.com/parenting.
Oh my goodness. Listen, man, what the Lord is doing. If you missed, and you've got to catch it in regards to Ezekiel 38 and 39, make sure you get a chance to go and listen to it. You can go to vfntv.com and get the podcast. I like to a big shout out to all of our podcast listeners are out there because that's kind of how we are today. Everybody's so mobile. Things are moving so quickly. You need to listen to it when you need to listen to it. And you need to listen to what you need to listen to when you're listening to it. And you can do that by downloading our podcasts. Mm-hmm. Just go to vfntv.com, mm-hmm. click on the podcast, and you get whatever format that you need. What happens, it just gets downloaded into your stuff somehow, and you can mm-hmm. play it like you play a record. No, a CD. I'm sorry, a CD.
What's a CD?
Download, I guess. And you can, and it's just really cool because then you have it. Think about this. You know, remember all the years that, yeah, buy the tape. Buy the, we're giving it to you. There it's you yours. Yes. Have it freely.
Free.
You know, freely, the Lord's given it to us. We give it to you. Go to vfntv.com and download the podcast today. Your future may depend upon it.
Away in a manger, no crib for a bed, the little Lord Jesus laid.
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Freedom of speech. Steve, does that mean that they could criticize and shut down the speech of Christians, but then if Christians start talking, then can't say anything?
Almost like a double negative.
Yeah, I don't double something. But I'll tell you, you know, the Daily News, New York Daily News, they, on their headlines, that right after the San Bernardino attack and people were tweeting out their prayers, they were praying for the victims, you're seeing it right now on your screen. This is what the headline said. It said, mm-hmm. God isn't fixing this. Basically saying, hey, don't pray. Don't bring God into this. And as a believer, that's what we do as Christians. We pray. We talk to God. We ask God to intervene in the affairs of men, to help us and to guide us and direct us and move it upon our lives. And so all of a sudden, our freedom of speech now is being attacked. And mm-hmm. now we can't do that. What I want you to watch, a high school these teenagers at a Catholic school, as they share a video that went viral saying, listen, don't shame us because we're praying. This is what we are allowed to do. This is our First Amendment right. Don't shame prayer. Watch this news update. I know, and I'm going to let you see the video too.
It's now 6:39 here in Manchester. A video has not even been up for 24 hours now. It's already gotten nearly 30,000 views.
Yeah, that clip was created by East Catholic High School students. They're aiming to end prayer shaming, they say. Channel 3 Eyewitness News reporter Evan White is live in Manchester, and he has more on this. Evan?
Eric and Irene, good morning to you. The students feel that recent tragedies such as mass shootings have created a call for prayer and God, both of which they believe have largely been shunned in recent years. Now, the video is only a couple of minutes long, and there's no speaking in it. The students hold up signs, as you can see there, that speak to recent national tragedies like the shooting in San Bernardino, and they question why God and prayer have not been a bigger part of the conversation in the healing process. Then they answer those questions by saying that it's part of a long-standing prayer shaming across the nation, an effort that they want to see come to an end.
Being thousands of miles away from San Bernardino, or maybe not being able to stand next to somebody who's experienced the tragedy today, prayer is a way that our community comes together and shares our commitment to peace. It allows our students to feel connected and feel like they're actively working towards the betterment of society.
Now, the video ends by asking people to pray and to share that video. Now reporting live in Manchester with the Mobile Newsroom, I'm Evan White, Channel 3.
Steve, how have times mm-hmm. changed?
Hugely.
Right after 9/11, everyone in Congress was praying. Mm-hmm. They came out on the steps of the Capitol and were praying and were singing with each other, mm-hmm. even though they said you can't pray in school, but they all started mm-hmm. to pray and asking. And here we are all these years later, and now we're mm-hmm. shaming people of faith, people that want to pray and cry mm-hmm. out to God?
Well, it makes me think about what we've talked about many times before on this program. It's about JJ. You know, Jesus and the Jews, that is that you're seeing such a targeted effort against anyone who wants to acknowledge Jesus, who wants to pray. And it's almost like they're saying tolerance, but they don't want to have anything about Christianity. They right. don't want to acknowledge, okay.
Tolerate me, but I don't want to tolerate you.
Exactly.
Just tolerate me.
Exactly.
This is wild. I want you to watch what these young people put together. It is very, very touching. Watch this.
Mm-hmm.
We've become so polarized and so divided.
Mm-hmm.
Listen, the answer is not censoring everybody. The answer is all of us falling together under God, under Jesus Christ. Listen, it's about the gospel. It's about the good news of Jesus Christ, and it's about sharing that.
Mm-hmm.
If we can't do that in America, we can do it anywhere. When we go to this break, I want to talk to you about Divine Seminar, because this is what it's all about. It's about rediscovering and going back to the original intent of the church. There's so many today that want to go back to biblical roots, that want to see the power of God. They want to see love and community and genuine relationships around Jesus Christ, and they want to be about the Father's business. They take the words of Jesus seriously. Go and make disciples. Deny yourself and pick up your cross and follow me. And if maybe that's you, there's been a yearning in your heart for more, let me tell you, the Vine Seminar is for you. I want you to watch this so that you can be involved, and you may know a friend who needs to be there too. Watch this.
So what do you do? I mean, you got this difficulty, difficult times of testament souls coming to the earth. What does the church do? We just go back to the original intent of the church. It's not as complicated as religion has made it out to be. And it's not hard. But it's the one thing that's being fought the most in society. It's called relationship. It's called loving one another, spending time. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love is gentle. Those things only happen in the context of a relationship. Mm-hmm. Discipleship's caught in relationships better than taught in some particular classroom type setting. When you look at the church in its original intent, do you think it did? Was that a mistake? You know, the fact that they were meeting together and eating together, and
right.
and did they just not figure out how to build a huge complex yet? I mean, mm-hmm. what's going on? But then you go back and go, well, the fear of the Lord was there, that miracles was happening amongst them, signs and wonders, mm-hmm. and they dedicated themselves to the apostles' teaching, and but it's really, you know, we went on this journey sometime back, you know, understanding what does it mean to be the church, you know, and he says, go ye into all the world, but yet we have this come ye type mentality, right? Mm-hmm. Come ye to my church, come to my building, come to my meeting, come to this thing. And it's like, but no, we're not going out. And by not going out, other things are going out and promulgating something different than the gospel darkness. And, we had to find out we're supposed to be a go-y church instead of a come-y church, that God, as Christians, we're supposed to go out. As we begin to understand that and walk that out and say, you know what, we're going to do, if it takes 10 years, we're going to do exactly what the Lord said, and begin to walk that out. And what we found out in beginning to walk out the pattern of the church, that God loves it. He is so into his kingdom, the fullness of, like, you know, one man said, it was like stepping out of a flower pot into the fourth chapter of Acts, the things that begin to happen. And it's exciting. It's exhilarating. And God wants to be, you know, God, we got the word of God back to the church. We got to get the church to pick it up again. But God wants his church back. He wants us to be loyal to his voice and to follow him. There's only one church, the church under Jesus Christ as the head.
That's right.
And he wants his church back. What we did was we said, you know, how can we put something together to share our experience? We call it the Vine Seminar. You think about it. Jesus said in John chapter 15, he said, you know, it's impossible. It's impossible to be fruitful unless we abide in him, abide in the vine. He says, I'm the vine. My Father's the gardener. You're the branches. And so what we did, we came together and we put together what we call the Vine Seminar. It's a Friday, Saturday, and a Sunday. It's a limited amount of seating in it. You can sign up for it at vfntv.com under events. You'll see Vine Seminar there. And we want to just share our experiences. And it's not as hard. It's, you know, you're gonna enjoy church again. If God's calling you to begin to walk that way, then you're gonna begin to enjoy it. It's an amazing thing, you know. And I really believe from what we've seen, and that the Spirit of the Lord is so pleased when we come together and love each other and spend time with each other and dedicate ourselves to his word. He shows up in a powerful way and heals and delivers and signs and wonders and miracles and dreams. Find out more. Go to vfntv.com, upper right-hand corner, you see events. Hover over that. You'll see Divine Seminar. Sign up for it.
today. It's limited space. Make sure you get in.
Jenkins, Oakley. Knight.
Jim?
Jim, go, do it!
Halt! Es ist nicht bewaffnet! Nein, Otto!
Jim!
My name is Jim.
My name is Otto.
Pleased to meet you, Otto.
Freut mich.
Rose, she's called.
I'm schön.
This is VFN-TV, where we're keeping the conversation light. Follow us online at VFNTV.com. We'll be right back.
We want to encourage you to partner with us today at VFNTV.com. It's you, our partners, who help us together share the gospel all over the Gulf Coast. You can do that today by going to VFNTV.com, and the benefits are numerous. Specials, green room, teachings, and so much more. Be a part. Join us today, and let's do this together. VFNTV.com.
John, I am just so thankful for those that stand with us, you know, to be able to keep the light going.
Yeah.
And it's our partners that stay with us on a regular basis. You know, it doesn't matter what size. A gift, and just kind of give financially and prayerfully every single month through partnership. I don't know if you have not yet partnered. You can actually go to VFNTV.com and just click on partner now, and it walks you through the prompts. There's so many benefits just to say thank you. One is the teachings. There's just all kinds of teachings, prophetic teachings, teachings to encourage you. But there's also specials that are only for our partners. We had to find something special for you too to say thank you. and there's specials that we have for you. And then Green Room, there's, you know, some interviews that we had that we asked other questions that we don't get a chance to ask on air, and we just put that, you know, in the Green Room for you. And it's a thank you. It's obviously just standing alone, standing for the light. And this is what the Lord says: when you stand together, you get the same reward. I want to encourage you to go to VFNTV.com and click on Partner Now. We need you to stand with us.
Said the little lamb to the shepherd boy, do you hear what I hear?
Welcome back to VFNTV with your host, Greg Lancaster.
Do you hear what I hear?
We're talking about the First Amendment. We're talking about the freedom of speech. We're talking about prayer shaming and what's happening in our nation, and how there's so much sensitivities to be able to tolerate others, but who's not being tolerated are Christians and Jews. Mm-hmm. And we want to prepare you, because I believe there's going to be an escalation of this. You're going to see this more and more. And the question is, you know, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, God didn't call us to be popular. He's called us to share the truth, and to share that truth in love. And you may not be popular with man, but the question is, you know, are you going to be popular with God? And that's the only one that, you know, that matters. When you share the truth, no matter what, it may not always work out well for you. I mean, just ask John, you know, his head ended up on a platter. But listen, to be absent in the body, to be present with the Lord, to this we were called. But if you notice in an earlier segment, that the young boy on a college campus, he started contemplating, he started thinking, do I, you know, I don't even think I should say anything because if I say something, they're probably going to attack me. Mm-hmm. See, that's the whole goal of this thing. The whole goal is to put fear upon you, and so that you won't say a word. And the thing about it is that so many people are fearful of losing a reputation. It's like, do you have a reputation? I mean,
Jesus made himself no reputation.
No reputation. Just preach Jesus.
Yeah. And it's a huge thing. And as we're dialoguing about this, it's so important to remember that, you know, Ephesians 6, you know, what we wrestle with is not flesh and blood, but it's a spirit of trying to keep out truth. And, you know, we were just dialoguing during the break, is just the fact that, you know, you're seeing, you know, just the utterances and the beginning conversations of people coming against the Second Amendment and stricter gun laws, and people are jumping all over it. And the question is, you know, we're talking to the church, in that, you know, we're seeing such a continual uprising against the First Amendment. And when I think about this, it reminds me about 2 Corinthians, and it says, for though we live in the world, we as the church, we do not wage war as the world does. The weapons that we fight with are not the weapons of the world. On the contrary, they have divine power to demolish strongholds. And it continues on by saying, you know, it's the fact that, do we understand that our weapon is our mouths? Is that Jesus says that we can speak love, we can speak truth. And that's the thing, is like, do we understand the power of what we have and what God has given us to speak to one another? Because if we lose that, it even says, if someone doesn't go and tell them, how are they going to even know that Jesus loves them?
That's right. And the power of life and death is in the tongue. We better start planning. And the other thing we got to consider is, why are we even talking about losing this First Amendment right? Why has it been, you know, why is there such an attack? Are we even utilizing this to the fullest? There are places all over the world that they don't have this right. You cannot say, and if you do say, you will lose your life. They'll cut out your tongue. You know, think about it. I think it was Polycarp who was preaching the gospel, and I think they put a screw in his tongue, and then they burned him to the stake. Wow. And then sometime later, someone found the screw, and is like, he refused. He refused to back down. And the question is, what are you going to do? At a certain point, we have to say, listen, is this about comfort and convenience and self-preservation, or this is about sharing the truth, living the truth, and giving hope to other people? Listen, the only thing, you know, it's the light that spells darkness. If you see darkness, it's the absence of light. And so we can't shrink back and say, well, I'm not going to say anything. I was going to tell them. No, listen. And the other thing, too, is that it's not our job to really police the world. It's not our job to start, you know, have a free speech to start pointing out errors in other people. I have enough of my own. We have enough of our own. But it's being able to speak openly about the love of God, about who God is. You know, I mean, you're coming into a season now where you can't even put a nativity scene. But listen, all those things can change. We still have the First Amendment. We just have to exercise what we've been given. We've got to implement what the tool that we have. You know, they say if you don't use it, you lose it.
Mm-hmm.
We want to end this program with, of course, as we do every program, in prayer. We need God. There's no prayer shaming here.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to pray, and we ask that you pray for us. We covet your prayers. Please, please pray for us. Steve, would you close us out?
Yes. Father God, Lord, we just repent, God, for how we've allowed so many things to just go awry as we've forgotten the initial intent of this nation as a Judeo-Christian nation. God, give us the boldness, God. Give us the awareness, the fact that weapons that you have given us as the church is our mouth to just share truth and love and tell the world who Jesus Christ is. God, give us that wisdom. Speak to us. Help us to understand your voice and what to do in these critical hours so that the world would know that you love them, Lord. And we just thank you right now, God, in Jesus' name.
God bless you, and thank you for watching. We want to give a special thanks to all of our sponsors and partners. Visit VFNTV.com and visit our sponsors for all of their contact information, phone numbers, web addresses, emails. Call them today.
You've been listening to VFN Radio. I'm your host, Greg Lancaster, and we're so glad that you joined us. Don't forget you can catch us at VFNTV.com on your mobile applications. You can download it at VFNTV.com. Go to your Apple apps, your Android apps, and all those wonderful apps. We enjoyed our time together. And don't forget, 24/7 on VFN Radio. God bless.
We're just talking about what, you know, God is saying and some of the things that sharing some words about a spiritual avalanche, this huge mindset. And it's just so refreshing because, you know, when you're hearing from the Lord and the things that we've heard and I've heard, is after a while, you're just thinking like, I'd like to hear about something good. You know, I mean, right. Is there something, you know, we prayed for a long time. You know, we pray for a long time, and part of one of the prayers that we were praying, you know, scripturally, is like, Lord, let us know your heart, your feelings, what you're thinking. And it came to a point, it's like, you know, I don't think I want to know this anymore, because it's just, we felt so heavy and so broken. Yeah. And so I don't think I have the grace, I don't have the ability in my humanness to be able to even tap in barely to your emotions. Mm-hmm. But I can't. And then we added to the prayer that you would give us grace to be able to handle this. And yeah. He did.
Yeah.
And because we don't want to, you lose your relationship with somebody when you're not willing to feel their feelings, you know, what they're thinking and feeling and empathize with them. And so you want, don't lose your relationship and turn it over to religion. But in the context of that, God's heart's broken over all this. Mm-hmm. And then he began to tell us that, but if you're broken over this, it's nothing wrong with you. It's a good thing. As a matter of fact, he talks about it in Ezekiel, and he literally put a sign in the sky for us after a time of 7 days of prayer and fasting. Mm-hmm. That he says, go down there, those that are broken over the situation. He's telling Ezekiel this, and put a mark on them. Put a mark on them so when this storm comes, that it won't affect them. Did he not do that? I mean, yes, he did that. Yeah. It's like, oh my goodness, thank you, Lord. And literally
it's
put
in
a
sky.
It was in the sign in the heavens about mm-hmm. it. And so if you're God's, and not if you say you're God's, understand that. Not if somebody tells you that you're God's, God's with apostrophe S, you know, you're possessive, that you are God's son or daughter, is that you know you're God's. You know what I'm saying? You're not like, I guess my pastor told me I'm saved. You know, I don't know. This is prophet that told me I have a call on my life. And like, no, dude. You know Jesus. You know what I'm saying? You made him the Lord of your life. You hang out with him not because you have to, because you desperately want to. You want to be able to spend time with him and know what he's thinking and all. And so you want to make that decision. If you haven't yet, we have a way to be able to help you do that at meetmyfather.org. Meetmyfather.org.